I want to tell you something. My name is Jeremy Green. First of all, I'm the lead pastor here, and you know, we're not a perfect church, and I think you just saw that, but one of the things we do is we love imperfect people, and I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited about this new series, Friending. This is a series for the whole family, and so if you're here and you're in elementary school or middle school or high school, this series is going to be for you as much as it is your parents. Some of you will be nudging your parents. Some of your parents will be nudging you, so I'm just giving you fair warning. Get your elbow space going, because I just get excited when we talk about this, because here's what I know. Friendships have the ability to bring so much life and so much destruction. You see, I know this, that friendships have the ability to help us, and they also have the ability to destroy us. And here's what I know this morning, that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because here's the deal, if you hang out with people who are successful, who do well in the business world, in the career world, people who have great marriages, people who are good with money, people who can work out and train and all of those, you're more likely to be like those people. But the same is true, that if your friends, the people you hang out with, have destructive lifestyles and habits, and those are the only people that you are around, chances are your life is going to head in that direction. So here is the principle here. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. There was a wise man in the Bible named Solomon. The Bible says that he's the wisest person, and he says it best this way. Walk with thee and become. I mean, that makes sense, right? We could just go home, right, on that one verse. But for a companion of fools suffers harm. I was thinking about this, you know, when the reality is that many of us want a better life. I mean, most of us want a great life for our kids. And when we look at this today, sometimes as adults, I think we forget this. You know, I heard Mama always say, you know, who you hang out with matters. And, you know, I didn't really believe her. And then I hung out with this group, and it seems like I'd always be in trouble. And I hung out with my church friends, and I never really got in trouble till we were teenagers and rolled the youth pastor's house. We just needed, it didn't snow that year. We wanted to give him some snow. And so we rolled his house good. And he always remembers me. And that's why I'm bald in ministry, because that was my curse. But when I look at my life, and I look at the success in my life, I always can pinpoint people that God put in my life to help me become like that. And one of the things I was thinking about is, and those of you who are new here, I mean, I have a pretty crazy testimony. I was a youth group kid who then went to college, and I traded my faith for something else. And, you know, I'm glad they didn't have Facebook when I was in college. I don't even want to know if somebody has pictures of some of the things that I've done. But I know this, when I was acting crazy, I had some crazy people all around. I think part of college for me, and I don't condone this, think you should do this, but man, we had like crazy contests. I don't know what it is, but like it got me in some trouble. I never got arrested, but I know that when my life was crazy, I surrounded myself with crazy people. And so I have an exercise for you to do right now. And so you need to pull out your phone or pen and write something down. I want you right now to write down your top five friends. Write down your top five friends, put them in your smartphone. And here's the deal. This is not your spouse. This isn't your family. This isn't your imaginary friend. This is the person that or persons that would come and they would come at your need anytime. It's 5 o'clock in the morning or it's 12 and you got a flat tire, you're out of gas. Who are your top five friends? Do that real quick. And while you're doing that, I want to just tell you this, and you can work on that as we're moving forward. Sociologists say this today, are you ready? That you are the average of your top five friends. That you are the average of your top five friends. Because here, think about this for a second. If you take your top five friends, you probably aren't the richest. You may not be the poorest, but you fit somewhere in the middle. If you look at your life and you look at morality, you know, if you were hanging out this weekend and you were getting crazy and you were twerking, you probably had some friends twerking with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this runs together. If you have a spiritually focused life, probably two or three people on that list are going to be spiritually focused with you. And the reality is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because here's the deal. If you're the average of your top five friends, like it or not, Mom was right when she said this. You become like those you run with. You become like those you run with. And I don't know what happens to us as adults, but sometimes we forget this principle. And we need to be asking the question, are we hanging out with the right people? Now, and I want to put a disclaimer here. I'm very mission-hearted and missional, and I don't not hang out with anyone. In our neighborhood, I get invited to events that I know people in that event would never go to church. I still go to that, but those aren't my friends. So I want to just put a disclaimer out there. We're talking about your friends, the five people that if you were hurting or you were in trouble, these people would come to your aid. Because here's the deal. If we know that we become like people that we hang with, then why do we make the wrong choices sometimes in our friendship? I want to tell you today, if you want to be more fit, don't hang out with somebody that eats Twinkies all day, okay? You know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. They tried to kill Twinkies off. They brought it back. And that those friends, man, they were happy. If you want to be better at financial stewardship, hang out with generous people. You know, I've never been around a generous person who complained. You know, I've never been around a generous person who's been on a mission trip and they said, man, wish I could get a refund on that one. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen like that. They go on this trip and they spend money and they come back with these stories and you're like, dang, that's like that should be a Hallmark card. And so, you know, when you think about this, teenagers, if you hang out with people who act crazy, you're probably going to become crazy. And I mean, it works that way. And so I want to encourage us today. So how do we define friendship? Here is how we define friendship, and we'll put it up on the screen. It says a friend is someone you may or may not know who accepts your friend request on Facebook. The person is born to like and comment on your post to make you feel good about yourself. That's Proverbs 17:17 in the Facebook Bible. Let's see what the real Bible says in Proverbs 17:17. It said a friend loves at what? And a brother or sister, I like to put sister in there, is born for a time of adversity. I mean, that's a deep quote for a Sunday morning. A friend loves at all times. And your friends ought to be there when you are adversity. I want to ask you, what would your life be like if you had friendships that didn't just go years, but decades? If you had friendships that didn't just go a couple of years, but for decades of your life, where you know that these people are with you. And these people, I'll tell you, these are the people that will be willing to come tell you you're about to do something really stupid. Okay, that's not a good word in the greenhouse. And the two boys up here, close your ears. But good friends will tell you, you are about to do something really dumb. You are acting stupid. If you don't have a friend that's like that, you need one. Because there's going to be times in your life where you're going to veer off and you need someone to say, yoo-hoo. I mean, do you know what you're doing? But what happens often is we like friendships that are comfortable. We like people who can tell us what we want to hear. And that's not the best friendship that you need. The Sociological Review I was reading this week says the average American only has two close friends. Well, big deal, two. Well, guess what? Two decades ago, that number was six. That two decades ago, the average American had six close friends. How did we get down to two people? I was looking at some of the stats for that. Number one is the increasing number of work hours. If you look at the time in our age today and the number of hours that people work, it's increased. Another one today is when divorce rates increase and you're married, and many of you have gotten a divorce, and I grew up in a divorce home. But your friends, they change when that happens. And so you lose some people that you were once close to, but you have an opportunity to gain new ones. But the third one that I want to focus on is the rise in social media. And if you know me, I am pro-social media. I mean, social media really helps our church. I mean, when we have our Facebook page, all that. But I want to tell you something. Are you ready? A few years ago before Facebook, when would you have picked up the phone and called all your friends to tell them what you had for breakfast? Have you thought about that? hey, I got to, you know, honey, I'm going to be gone most of the morning. I need my 900 friends to know how good those hash browns were. I mean, they were delicious. I mean, think about that. But today, you don't just post what you have. I mean, I take a picture of it. I want you lusting my IHOP or my Waffle House. And then you know what we do? Don't act like you don't do this. For the next 30 minutes, how many likes did I get? Did somebody comment on it? I mean, that's why we have Instagram, right? Because we like people to like us. But the reality is that experts say today that we are obsessed with our online perception so much that we care less about face-to-face conversations. I want you to imagine something. You teenagers, I mean, you have it too good because you get an iPhone, but you never got these phones, not phones, but cameras that you would buy. They were called disposable cameras. If you don't know what that means, you use it and throw it away. And so you would get these and you would take pictures. Y'all, okay, those of you who are older, can you imagine doing selfies with a disposable? I mean, you go to Walmart with your friend. What are you up to? Man, I got to go get my camera, my disposable camera, developed 24 hours. I mean, God, we had it rough, didn't we? And so you get this and you're showing your friend, you're like, those are all of you. You know, that would be really weird. You show up at your friend's house, hey, check out all my selfies. I mean, you know, people think you're crazy. But think about that today. Don't lie. There, every female in here, one of your girlfriends, it may be you or your girlfriend. Oh, she's got the selfie, you know. And I mean, that's why they made the camera on the front. You know, it's not, nobody FaceTimes with this. They got to do selfies. And it's just weird to me, but here's the deal. And I'll move into how we can live this out. Social media is not a bad thing. But it should be something that supplements our friendships, not substitutes it. I want to say that again. It's not a bad thing. But it should supplement it, not substitute it. And the reality is today that if we're not careful, we may just trade in all of our face-to-face relationships with 1,000 people that don't even know who we are, don't really care who we are. They just like the five-second image that they saw on a social network. And I just believe today that God instilled in us such a gift called friendships that we shouldn't limit it to just a digital world. And so I want to help us today by rediscovering the art of friendships. You see, the thing I want us to focus on today is be present. Look at your neighbor and say, be present. I remember this video that Madonna did, Strike a Pose, and I was like, you know, that came in my mind today. I don't know why, but here's what I want. I want us to commit to face-to-face relationships over thumbs-to-thumbs. I want us to commit to face-to-face relationships over thumbs-to-thumbs, because I'm going to tell you something. Thumbs don't show. No emojicon in the world can show pain. No emojicon in the world can show the true joy of a mama finding out her boy's a Marine this week. Amen? No emojicon can do that. Face-to-face, okay? Can I tell you my struggle with this? And I'm going to tell you, if you like perfect pastors, this is not the church for you. But if you can have a pastor who can just tell you, I got to tell you, when I was writing this message, oh my gosh, I was convicted. Because I have this thing that I love when I go home. It's called an iPad. And man, I love Facebook. I got to see how many likes I got. That picture was so cute. Lila, I better got 25. I got a true story. I'm really into this Throwback Thursday thing, okay? And some of you who follow me, you were like, who is that person with Lori? Is Lori cheating on Jeremy back then? That really was me with a beard and a head full of hair. I was like, man, that guy was good looking. No wonder she dated him. And so I can't wait till God invents anti-balding stuff. I'm going to grow the biggest head of hair again one day. I want to be in my 60s preaching and be like, well, didn't he not have, oh, he's got hair, man. He's young. But, you know, there's this problem I have. I got these things called kids, and I love them. And sometimes they're talking to me, and I don't even know they're in the room because I'm checking my Facebook or I'm reading an email Or I'm looking at this article about what are the top players on the Super Bowl. I don't know. But I know I waste a lot of time and moments that I can't get back with my kids. And so one of the things that I want to commit to through this series in my life this year is to be present. I mean, think about that. We live in a world where you can be having an intimate conversation with someone and their phone goes off and they're like, let me check that. You know, one of my kids may need something. I mean, kids, you know what we had to do? We had pay phones. You had to pull over on the side of the road and put a quarter in a machine and actually press buttons, okay? Listen, somebody told me our church is young. I'm glad we got some old people in here. Listen, where are my bouncers? Somebody. I want to tell you what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10. And this is good stuff. I wish I could take credit for this. It says, and let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting. Can you fill that in? Don't stop meeting. Do we have it on? Together with each other, believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. There's power in presence. I want to ask you, when's the last time you picked up the phone and called one of your friends and just went out and did something meaningful? You know, there's a reason that our missions part of EdgePoint is called Project 245. You see, it's not just about EdgePoint. I mean, Travis is growing this thing into a nonprofit so that it goes beyond the church, so that you don't even have to say it's church. You can invite one of your pagan friends to go fix up a house, and then they hang out with some Christians, and they don't even know. They're like, man, I didn't even know I was hanging out with Christians. Normally the ones I know about are crazy and they're quoting weird Bible verses and putting that weird stuff on their Facebook page. And people want to know that we're real and that we're not normal because we've got Jesus. But, you know, you have an opportunity to invite people into places in your life, y'all. And if people won't come here on Sunday morning, we have environments outside of here. You know, there's this thing we used to sit around called a kitchen table. And we used to do life and talk about things. And maybe, you know, we need to invite somebody over and set the table. Because guess what? Every week we're here, Christ has set the table for somebody to know they got a seat in the kingdom of heaven. And I just believe today that we've got to be present. I want to tell you how this worked for me recently. This was actually back in late November. I was sitting in the living room of my house. And we had a group of leaders sitting around the room. And the question was asked, not by me, but the question was asked to our leadership team, what does this church mean to you? And man, I'm in my man chair, okay? I'm sitting in my man chair, and I'm like, oh, we'll hear. I started hearing what every person on our leadership thought about this church and what this church meant to them. And man, it was all I could do to hold in the moisture in my eyes. That wasn't something I needed to read in an email. That was something I needed to be sitting face to face and see the people that believe in me and believe in this church and believe that God has just begun in South Paulding. And I want to tell you something. There's just something about presence and being physically there. There's something about when you go to one of your friends, kids, baseball game, softball game, dance recital. Be present for each other. I'll tell you, I was convicted of this in a way recently. Freedom Church is a church, you're going to hear me talk a lot about that. J.R. Lee, the pastor there, has got me in a coaching network with him, and they are just doing phenomenal things in Ackworth, and they just moved in a building, and so we were meeting. I was in a staff meeting, and I noticed something really weird. His cell phone was on his desk, and he was on the opposite side of the room during the meeting. I mean, I bet his phone blew up that hour and a half that we were meeting. But for some reason, he chose just to be present. And that's something we're working on as a staff and a leadership. But when you are with someone, you might need to take this and just at least turn it like that. I got a timer on there. I got a few more minutes to talk. Amen. There's just something about presence. And those of you who are who are not convinced, I want to help you with this. What I know about you and I know about me is that we value our lives. We want our life to be valuable. We want our kids' life to be valuable. So if our friendships and future connect, how are we doing with that? How are you doing in your friendships? You may have moved to this community, and it may be 3-5 years, and you just have yet to connect with someone. I want to tell you, I believe that friendships is one of the number one reasons that church exists. Because God never wanted the believers to be doing life alone. And today, it's easy in our world today to open the garage door opener, to drive in and close it, to sit inside a lonely home with a digital world and never truly have meaningful and significant friendships. And I'll tell you that as an adult, friendships change, they shift. I mean, that's a part of it. I'm going to talk about that more in the coming part of this series, but I want you to remember something. That if you look at your life, and I look at my life, and I look at the successful parts of my life, it's typically because of the people that God put in it. Teenagers, I will tell you, friendships are the hardest thing. I'll never forget in ninth grade. It seems like until you get to ninth grade, like everybody stays together. And something happened in ninth grade when I joined the football team. And some of my friends started hanging out with some seniors and started doing some things that I knew I shouldn't be doing or I couldn't be doing. And man, I lost some friendships. I lost some friendships. But I want to tell you something. God began to do something in our church where us as teenagers started sitting together at church, and our youth pastor really challenged us to hang out with each other. Not just walk into church and school and not know each other, but like it didn't matter if we were in the same group. What we had in common was a relationship with Jesus, and a group of us finally got on fire and decided we didn't want our friends going to an opposite place of where we knew we were headed, and we just started investing in our friends. And yeah, some of them laughed at us, some of them made fun of us, but I've said this once before on the stage. I was reading in my yearbook a few years ago, and I ran into this girl, actually this last year at a football game, and she had wrote in my yearbook, most likely to become a youth pastor. I forgot that as a 16 and 17-year-old, this person knew me, and like, they're like, man, you're going on to work for Jesus. I mean, she knew that. Like, what friend says that in your yearbook? But I tell you, God was doing something then that as an adult, I look back now and I'm like, man, I need to tell some teenagers this morning, you don't ever underestimate the power of influence in your friendships. Because you got Jesus Christ running through your blood and veins. I am a friend of God. Man, I needed to hear that today. There's times in my life where I don't feel like God's my friend. There's times in my life I feel like God shouldn't be my friend, because if God knew all the things about me, I'm not a good friend to God all the time. But I sure am glad that God is the perfection of our imperfection. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I just believe this today, that God wants to invest in your future, and he puts people in there to do that. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to unpack this idea of friends as the band comes. And I hope that you'll do something. I hope you'll invite somebody to church. Can I tell you the number one marketing tool for church? Face-to-face invitation. Face-to-face. And you know what? You may ask somebody 14 times, and they may tell you no every time. But you never know when you get a text or a private Facebook message or, heaven forbid, a phone call, and they're dealing with some loss in their life, and because you go to church, they sought you out. It's not the first time you asked that counts. It's the fact that you don't give up on people that you care about. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity for us to understand the significance of friendships. And Father God, I just pray that as our hearts are moved and stirred today, that we would realize that we weren't put here on this planet to be alone. God, if some of us could be honest this morning, we may have a ton of friends on Facebook, but we feel as lonely as the next person. God, others of us have been in here and life has changed. Location, marriage status, job status. Something altered the way life was, and maybe today we recognize that our friendships are meaningful, and maybe we need to pick up that phone and call that person. Maybe we need to pray that God would send some new people into our life. God, I believe more than ever today that we can't lose hope. We can't lose hope that human beings have the capacity to make each other better and stronger and wiser. And God, I believe it is through your word that is a light unto our path, that gives us just enough light to take a step. God, what if we had friends who were taking those steps of faith together? God, I pray for healing and restoration this morning. For people who have been hurt, God, may we be a people that can forgive. God, help us to realize we are your friend. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. Pray that in Jesus' name. We all said, amen.